Try and control your stupid grin, Gray.
Likewise, Steele replies. Sincerely, I think. Look after my baby girl.
Oh, I fully intend to, I respond, shaking his hand. In ways that you can't possibly imagine, Mr. Steele. I take Anna's hand and bring her knuckles to my lips.
Later, Miss Steele, I murmur. You've made me a happy, happy man.
Steele gives me a brief nod, and taking his daughter's elbow, leads her out of the reception. I stand dazed but brimming with hope. She's agreed.
Christian Gray.
My joy is interrupted by Eamon Cavanaugh, Catherine's father. Eamon, how are you?
We shake hands.
Taylor collects me at 3:30.
Good afternoon, sir, he says, opening my car door.
En route, he informs me that the Audi A3 has been delivered to the Heathman. Now I just have to give it to Anna. No doubt this will involve a discussion, and deep down I know it will be more than just a discussion. Then again, she's agreed to be my submissive, so maybe she'll accept my gift without any fuss.
Who are you kidding, Gray? A man can dream. I hope we can meet this evening. I'll give it to her as her graduation present.
I call Andrea and tell her to put a WebEx breakfast meeting into my schedule tomorrow with Eamon Cavanaugh and his associates in New York. Cavanaugh is interested in upgrading his fiber optic network. I ask Andrea to have Roz and Fred on standby for the meeting, too. She relays some messages, nothing important, and reminds me I have to attend a charity function tomorrow evening in Seattle. Tonight will be my last night in Portland. It's almost Anna's last night here, too. I contemplate calling her, but there's little point since she doesn't have her cell phone, and she's enjoying time with her dad. Staring out the car window as we drive toward the Heathman, I watch the good people of Portland go about their afternoon. At a stoplight, there's a young couple arguing on the sidewalk over a spilled bag of groceries. Another couple, even younger, walks hand in hand past them, eyes locked and giggling. The girl leans up and whispers something in the ear of her tattooed beau. He laughs, leans down, and kisses her quickly, then opens the door to a coffee shop and steps aside to let her enter. Anna wants more. I sigh heavily and plow my fingers through my hair. They always want more. All of them. What can I do about that? The hand-in-hand couple strolling to the coffee shop. Anna and I did that. We've eaten together at two restaurants, and it was fun. Perhaps I could try. After all, she's giving me so much. I loosen my tie. Could I do more? Back in my room, I strip down, pull on my sweats, and head downstairs for a quick circuit in the gym. Enforced socializing has stretched the limits of my patience, and I need to work off some excess energy. And I need to think about more. Once I'm showered and dressed and back in front of my laptop, Roz calls via WebEx to check in, and we talk for 40 minutes. We cover all of the items on her agenda, including the Taiwan proposal and Darfur. The cost of the airdrop is staggering, but it's safer for all involved. I give her the go-ahead. Now we have to wait for the shipment to arrive in Rotterdam. I'm up to date on Cavanaugh Media. I think Barney should be in on the meeting, too, Ross says.
If you think so, let Andrea know.
Will do. How was the graduation ceremony? She asks.
Good.
Unexpected.
Anna agreed to be mine.
Unexpected good?
Yes.
From the screen, Roz peers at me, intrigued, but I say nothing more. Andrea tells me you're back in Seattle tomorrow.
Yes, I have a function to attend in the evening.
Well, I hope your merger has been successful.
I would say affirmative at this point, Roz.
She smirks. Glad to hear it. I have another meeting, so if there's nothing else, I'll say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
I log out of WebEx and into email, turning my attention to this evening. From Christian Grey. Subject, Soft Limits. Date, May 26, 2011, 5:22 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. What can I say that I haven't already? Happy to talk these through anytime. You looked beautiful today. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. And to think this morning I was convinced it was all over between us. Jesus, Grey, you need to get a grip. Flynn would have a field day. Of course, part of the reason was she didn't have her phone. Perhaps she needs a more reliable form of communication. From Christian Grey, subject, BlackBerry, date, May 26th, 2011, 5:36 p.m. To J.B. Taylor, CC, Andrea Ashton. Taylor, please source a new BlackBerry for Anastasia Steele with her email pre-installed. Andrea can get the account details from Barney and get them to you. Please deliver it tomorrow either to her home or to Clayton's. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Once that's sent, I pick up the latest Forbes and start to read. By 6:30, there's no response from Anna, so I assume she's still entertaining the quiet and unassuming Ray Steele. Given that they aren't related, they're remarkably similar. I order the seafood risotto from room service, and while I wait, I read more of my book. Grace calls while I'm reading. Christian, darling. Hello, Mother. Did Mia get in touch? Yes, I have her flight details. I'll pick her up. Great. Now, I hope you'll stay for dinner on Saturday.
Sure.
And then on Sunday, Elliot is bringing his friend Kate to dinner. Would you like to come? You could bring Anastasia.
That's what Kavanaugh was talking about today. I play for time. I'll have to see if she's free.
Let me know. It will be lovely to have all the family together again.
I roll my eyes. If you say so, Mother.
I do, darling. See you Saturday.
She hangs up. Take Anna to meet my parents? How the hell do I get out of that? As I contemplate this predicament, an email arrives. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, Soft Limits. Date, May 26th, 2011. 7:23 p.m. To Christian Grey.
I can come over this evening to discuss if you'd like.
Anna. No, no, baby. Not in that car. And my plans fall into place. From Christian Grey. Subject, Soft Limits. Date, May 26th, 2011. 7:27 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. I'll come to you. I meant it when I said I wasn't happy about you driving that car. I'll be with you shortly. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I print out another copy of the Soft Limits from the contract and her issues email because I've left my first copy in my jacket, which she still has in her possession. Then I call Taylor in his room. I'm going to deliver the car to Anastasia. Can you pick me up from her place? Say 9:30?
Certainly, sir.
Before I leave, I stuff two condoms into the back pocket of my jeans. I might get lucky. The A3 is fun to drive, though it's got less torque than I'm used to. I pull up outside a liquor store on the outskirts of Portland to buy some celebratory champagne. I forego the Cristal and the Dom Perignon for a Bollinger, mostly because it's the 1999 vintage and chilled, but also because it's pink. Symbolic, I think, with a smirk, as I hand my Amex to the cashier. Anna is still wearing the stunning gray dress when she opens the door. I look forward to peeling it off her later.
Hi,
she says, her eyes large and luminous in her pale face.
Hi. Come in.
She seems shy and awkward. Why? What's happened? If I may, I hold up the bottle of champagne. I thought we'd celebrate your graduation. Nothing beats a good Bollinger. Interesting choice of words.
Her voice is sardonic.
Oh, I like your ready wit, Anastasia. There she is, my girl. We only have teacups. We've packed all the glasses.
Teacups? Sounds good to me. I watch her wander into the kitchen. She's nervous and skittish, perhaps because she's had a big day, or because she's agreed to my terms, or because she's here alone. I know Kavanaugh's with her own family this evening, her father told me. I hope the champagne will help Anna relax and talk. The room is empty, except for packing crates, the sofa, and the table. There's a brown parcel on the table with a handwritten note attached.
I agree to the conditions, Angel, because you know best what my punishment ought to be. Only, don't make it more than I can bear. Do you want saucers as well? She calls.
Teacups will be fine, Anastasia, I respond, distracted. She's wrapped up the books, the first editions I sent her. She's giving them back to me. She doesn't want them. This is why she's nervous. How the hell will she react to the car? Looking up, I see her standing there, watching me, and carefully she places the cups on the table.
That's for you.
Her voice is small and strained. I figured as much, I mutter. Very apt quote. I trace her handwriting with my finger. The letters are small and neat, and I wonder what a graphologist would make of them. I thought I was d'Urberville, not Angel. You decided on the debasement. Of course it's the perfect quote. My smile is ironic. Trust you to find something that resonates so appropriately.
It's also a plea, she whispers.
A plea? For me to go easy on you? She nods. To me, these books were an investment, but for her, I thought they'd mean something. I bought these for you. It's a small white lie, as I've replaced them. I'll go easier on you if you accept them. I keep my voice calm and quiet, masking my disappointment.
Christian, I can't accept them. They're just too much.
Here we go, another battle of wills.
Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose.
You see, this is what I was talking about. You defying me. I want you to have them, and that's the end of the discussion. It's very simple. You don't have to think about this. As a submissive, you would just be grateful for them. You just accept what I buy you because it pleases me for you to do so.
I wasn't a submissive when you bought them for me, she says quietly.
As ever, she has an answer for everything. No, but you've agreed, Anastasia. Is she reneging on our deal? God, this girl has me on a roller coaster.
So they are mine to do with as I wish?
Yes. I thought you loved Hardy.
In that case, I'd like to give them to a charity, one working in Darfur, since that seems to be close to your heart. They can auction them.
If that's what you want to do, I'm not going to stop you. You can burn them, for all I care. Her pale face colors.
I'll think about it, she mutters.
Don't think, Anastasia, not about this. Keep them, please. They're for you, because your passion is books. You've told me more than once. Enjoy them. Placing the champagne on the table, I stand in front of her and cup her chin, tipping back her head so my eyes are on hers.
I will buy you lots of things, Anastasia. Get used to it.
I can afford it. I'm a very wealthy man. I kiss her quickly.
Please,
I add, and release her.
It makes me feel cheap, she says.
It shouldn't. You're overthinking it. Don't place some vague moral judgment on yourself based on what others might think. Don't waste your energy. It's only because you have reservations about our arrangement. That's perfectly natural. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. Anxiety is etched all over her lovely face.
Hey, stop this. There is nothing about you that is cheap, Anastasia. I won't have you thinking that. I just sent you some old books that I thought might mean something to you. That's all.
She blinks a couple of times and stares at the package, obviously conflicted.
Keep them, Anna. They're for you.
Have some champagne, I whisper, and she rewards me with a small smile.
That's better.
I open the champagne and fill the dainty teacup she's placed in front of me.
It's pink.
She's surprised, and I haven't the heart to tell her why I chose pink. Bollinger La Grande Année Rosé 1999, an excellent vintage.
In teacups.
She grins. It's infectious.
In teacups.
Congratulations on your degree, Anastasia. We touch cups, and I drink. It tastes good, as I knew it would.
Thank you.
She raises the cup to her lips and takes a quick sip.
Shall we go through the soft limits? Always so eager.
Taking her hand, I lead her to the sofa, one of the only remaining pieces of furniture in the living room, and we sit, surrounded by boxes.
Your stepfather's a very taciturn man. You managed to get him eating out of your hand.
I chuckle, only because I know how to fish.
How did you know he liked fishing?
You told me, when we went for coffee.
Oh, did I?
She takes another sip and closes her eyes, savoring the taste. Opening them again, she asks,
Did you try the wine at the reception?
Yes, it was foul, I grimace.
I thought of you when I tasted it. How did you get to be so knowledgeable about wine?
I'm not knowledgeable, Anastasia. I just know what I like. And I like you.
Some more?
I nod toward the bottle on the table.
Please.
I fetch the champagne and refill her cup. She regards me suspiciously. She knows I'm plying her with alcohol. This place looks pretty bare. Are you ready for the move? I ask, to distract her.
More or less.
Are you working tomorrow?
Yes, my last day at Clayton's.
I'd help you move, but I promised to meet my sister at the airport. Mia arrives from Paris early on Saturday. I'm heading back to Seattle tomorrow, but I hear Elliot is giving you two a hand.
Yes, Kate is very excited about that.
I'm surprised Elliot is still interested in Anna's friend. It's not his usual MO. Yes, Kate and Elliot. Who would have thought? Their liaison makes matters complicated. My mother's voice rings in my head.
You could bring Anastasia.
So what are you doing about work in Seattle? I ask.
I have a couple of interviews for intern places.
You were going to tell me this when?
I'm telling you now,
she says.
Where?
I ask. Hiding my frustration.
A couple of publishing houses?
Is that what you want to do, something in publishing? She nods, but she's still not forthcoming.
Well?
I prompt.
Well, what?
Don't be obtuse, Anastasia. Which publishing houses? I mentally run through all the publishing houses I know of in Seattle. There are four, I think.
Just small ones.
She says evasively. Why don't you want me to know?
Undue influence, she says.
What does that mean? I frown.
Oh, now you're being obtuse,
she says, her eyes twinkling with mirth.
Obtuse,
I laugh.
Me?
God, you're challenging. Drink up. Let's talk about these limits. Her eyelashes flutter and she takes a shaky breath, then drains her cup. She's really nervous about this. I offer her more liquid courage.
Please,
she responds. Bottle in hand, I pause. Have you eaten anything?
Yes, I had a 3-course meal with Ray, she says,
exasperated, and rolls her eyes. Oh, Anna, at last I can do something about this disrespectful habit. Leaning forward, I take hold of her chin and glare at her. Next time you roll your eyes at me, I will take you across my knee. Oh. She looks a little shocked, but a little intrigued, too. Oh. So it begins, Anastasia. With a wolfish grin, I fill her teacup, and she takes a long sip. Got your attention now, haven't I? She nods. Answer me. Yes, you've got my attention, she says with a contrite smile. Good. I fish out her email and appendix 3 of my contract from my jacket. So, sexual acts. We've done most of this. She shuffles closer to me, and we read down the list. Appendix 3, soft limits. To be discussed and agreed between both parties. Does the submissive consent to masturbation, cunnilingus, fellatio, swallowing semen, vaginal intercourse, vaginal fisting, anal intercourse, anal fisting? No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I ask. She swallows. Anal intercourse doesn't exactly float my boat. I'll agree to the fisting, but I'd really like to claim your ass, Anastasia. She inhales sharply, gazing at me. But we'll wait for that. Besides, it's not something we can dive into.
I can't help my smirk.
Your ass will need training.
Training?
Her eyes widen. Oh, yes. It'll need careful preparation. Anal intercourse can be very pleasurable, trust me. But if we try it and you don't like it, we don't have to do it again. I delight in her shocked expression.
Have you done that?
She asks.
Yes. With a man?
No, I've never had sex with a man. Not my scene.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes. And her large rubber strap-on. Anna frowns, and I move on quickly, before she can ask me any more questions about that. And swallowing semen. Well, you get an A in that. I expect a smile from her, but she's studying me intently, as if seeing me in a new light. I think she's still reeling over Mrs. Robinson and anal intercourse. Oh, baby. Elena had my submission. She could do with me as she pleased, and I enjoyed it.
So, swallowing semen, okay?
I ask, trying to bring her back to the now. She nods and finishes her champagne.
More?
I ask. Steady, Gray. You just want her tipsy, not drunk.
More,
she whispers. I refill her cup and get back to the list. Sex toys? Does the submissive consent to the use of vibrators, butt plugs, dildos, other vaginal anal toys?
Butt plug? Does it do what it says on the box?
She grimaces. Yes, and I refer to anal intercourse above. Training.
Oh. What's in other?
Beads, eggs, that sort of stuff.
Eggs?
Her hands shoot to her mouth in shock. Not real eggs, I laugh.
I'm glad you find me funny.
The hurt in her voice is sobering. I apologize. I'm sorry. For fuck's sake, Gray, go easy on her. Any problem with toys?
No,
she snaps. Shit, she's sulking. Anastasia, I am sorry. Believe me, I don't mean to laugh. I've never had this conversation in so much detail. You're just so inexperienced. I'm sorry. She pouts and takes another sip of champagne. Right. Bondage, I say. And we return to the list. Does the submissive consent to bondage with rope, bondage with leather cuffs, bondage with handcuffs, shackles, manacles, bondage with tape, bondage with other? Well, I ask, gently this time. Fine, she whispers and continues reading. Does the submissive consent to be restrained with hands bound in front, ankles bound, elbows bound, hands bound behind back, knees bound, wrists bound to ankles, binding to fixed items, furniture, etc., binding with spreader bar, suspension? Does the submissive consent to be blindfolded? Does the submissive consent to be gagged? We've talked about suspension, and it's fine if you want to set that up as a hard limit. It takes a great deal of time, and I only have you for short periods anyway. Anything else? Don't laugh at me, but what's a spreader bar? I promise not to laugh. I've apologized twice. For Christ's sake. Don't make me do it again. My voice is sharper than I intended, and she leans away from me. Shit. Ignore her reaction, Gray. Get on with it. A spreader is a bar with cuffs for ankles and or wrists. They're fun. Okay. Well, gagging me. I'd be worried I wouldn't be able to breathe. I'd be worried if you couldn't breathe. I don't want to suffocate you. Breath play is not my scene at all. And how will I use safe words if I'm gagged? She inquires. First of all, I hope you never have to use them. But if you're gagged, we'll use hand signals. I'm nervous about the gagging. Okay, I'll take note. She studies me for a moment as if she solved the riddle of the Sphinx. Do you like tying your submissives up so they can't touch you? She asks. That's one of the reasons. Is that why you've tied my hands? Yes. You don't like talking about that, she says. No, I don't. I'm not going there with you, Anna. Give it up. Would you like another drink? I ask. It's making you brave, and I need to know how you feel about pain. I refill her cup, and she takes a sip, wide-eyed and anxious. So what's your general attitude to receiving pain? She remains mute. I suppress a sigh. You're biting your lip. Fortunately, she stops, but now she's pensive and staring down at her hands. Were you physically punished as a child? I prompt her gently.
No.
So you have no sphere of reference at all?
No.
It's not as bad as you think. Your imagination is your worst enemy in this. Trust me on this, Anna. Please.
Do you have to do it?
Yes.
Why?
You really don't want to know. Goes with the territory, Anastasia. It's what I do. I can see you're nervous. Let's go through methods. We read through the list. Spanking, whipping, biting, genital clamps, hot wax, paddling, caning, nipple clamps, ice, other types, methods of pain. Well, you said no to genital clamps. That's fine. It's caning that hurts the most. Anna pales. We can work up to that, I state quickly.
Or not do it at all,
she counters. This is part of the deal, baby, but we'll work up to all of this. Anastasia, I won't push you too far.
This punishment thing, it worries me the most.
Well, I'm glad you've told me. We'll keep caning off the list for now, and as you get more comfortable with everything else, we'll increase intensity. We'll take it slow. She looks uncertain, so I lean forward and kiss her. There. That wasn't so bad, was it? She shrugs, still doubtful. Look, I want to talk about one more thing, then I'm taking you to bed.
Bed?
she exclaims, and color flushes her cheeks. Come on, Anastasia, talking through all this, I want to fuck you into next week, right now. It must be having some effect on you, too. She squirms beside me and takes a husky breath, her thighs pressing together. See? Besides, there's something I want to try.
Something painful?
No. Stop seeing pain everywhere. It's mainly pleasure. Have I hurt you yet?
No.
Well then? Look, earlier today you were talking about wanting more. I stop. Fuck, I'm on a precipice. Okay, Gray, are you sure about this? I have to try. I don't want to lose her before we start. Jump. I take her hand. Outside of the time you're my sub, perhaps we could try. I don't know if it will work. I don't know about separating everything. It may not work, but I'm willing to try. Maybe one night a week. I don't know. Her mouth drops open. I have one condition.
What?
She asks, her breath hitching. You graciously accept my graduation present to you.
Oh,
she says, her eyes widening with uncertainty. Come. I pull her to her feet, slip off my leather jacket, and drape it over her shoulders. Taking a deep breath, I open the front door and reveal the Audi A3 parked at the curb. It's for you. Happy graduation. I wrap my arms around her and kiss her hair. When I release her, she stares dumbfounded at the car. Okay. This could go either way. Taking her hand, I lead her down the steps and she follows as if in a trance. Anastasia, that beetle of yours is old and, frankly, dangerous. I would never forgive myself if something happened to you when it's so easy for me to make it right. She gapes at the car, speechless. Shit. I mentioned it to your stepfather. He was all for it. Perhaps I'm overstating this. Her mouth is still open in dismay when she turns to glare at me.
You mentioned this to Ray? How could you?
She's annoyed. Really annoyed. It's a gift, Anastasia. Can't you just say thank you?
But you know it's too much.
Not to me, it isn't. Not for my peace of mind. Come on, Anna. You want more. This is the price. Her shoulders sag, and she turns to me, resigned, I think. Not quite the reaction I was hoping for. The rosy glow from the champagne has disappeared, and her face is pale once more.
I'm happy for you to loan this to me, like the laptop.
I shake my head. Why is she so difficult? I've never had this reaction to a car from any of my submissives. They're usually delighted. Okay, on loan, indefinitely. I agree through gritted teeth.
No, not indefinitely, but for now. Thank you,
she says quietly, and leaning up, she kisses me on the cheek.
Thank you for the car, sir.
That word, from her sweet, sweet mouth. I grab her and press her body to mine, her hair pooling in my fingers. You are one challenging woman, Anna Steele. I kiss her forcefully, coaxing her lips apart with my tongue, and a moment later she's responding, matching my ardor, her tongue caressing mine. My body reacts. I want her, here, now, in the open. It's taking all my self-control not to fuck you on the hood of this car right now, just to show you that you are mine. And if I want to buy you a fucking car, I'll buy you a fucking car. Now let's get you inside and naked, I growl. Then I kiss her once more, demanding and possessive. Taking her hand, I stride back into the apartment, slamming the front door behind us and heading straight for her bedroom. There I release her and switch on her bedside light.
Please don't be angry with me,
she whispers. Her words douse the fire of my anger.
I'm sorry about the car and the books.
She halts and licks her lips.
You scare me when you're angry. Shit. No one has ever said that to me before. I close my eyes. The last thing I want to do is frighten her.
Calm down, Gray. She's here. She's safe. She's willing. Don't blow it just because she doesn't understand how to behave. Opening my eyes, I find Anna watching me, not in fear, but with anticipation.
Turn around, I demand, my voice soft. I want to get you out of that dress.
She obeys immediately. Good girl. I remove my jacket from her shoulders and discard it on the floor, then lift her hair off her neck. The feel of her soft skin beneath my index finger is soothing. Now that she's doing what she's told, I relax. With the tip of my finger, I follow the line of her spine down her back to the start of the zipper bound in gray chiffon. I like this dress. I like to see your flawless skin. Hooking my finger into the back of her dress, I pull her close so she's flush against me. I bury my face in her hair and breathe in her scent.
You smell so good, Anastasia. So sweet. Like fall.
Her fragrance is comforting, reminding me of a time of plenty and happiness. Still inhaling her delicious scent, I skim my nose from her ear down her neck to her shoulder, kissing her as I go. Slowly I unzip her dress and kiss and lick and suck my way across her skin to her other shoulder. She shivers beneath my touch.
Oh, baby. You are going to have to learn to keep still, I whisper between kisses, and unfasten her halter neck.
The dress falls to her feet.
No bra, Miss Steele. I like that.
Reaching forward, I cup her breasts and feel her nipples pebble against my palm. Lift your arms and put them around my head, I order, my lips brushing her neck. She does as she's told, and her breasts lift farther into my palms. She twists her fingers into my hair, the way I like, and she tugs.
Ah, that feels so good.
Her head lolls to the side, and I take advantage, kissing her where her pulse hammers beneath her skin.
Mmm.
I murmur in appreciation, my fingers teasing and tugging at her nipples. She groans, arching her back, pushing her perfect tits even farther into my hands.
Shall I make you come this way?
Her body bows a little more.
You like this, don't you, Miss Steele?
Mm.
Tell me, I insist, continuing my sensual assault on her nipples.
Yes,
she breathes.
Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
Good girl.
Gently I pinch and twist with my fingers, and her body bucks convulsively against me while she moans, her hands tugging harder at my hair.
I don't think you're ready to come yet.
And I still my hands, just holding her breasts, while my teeth tug at her earlobe.
Besides, you have displeased me, so perhaps I won't let you come after all.
I knead her breasts, and my fingers return my attention to her nipples, twisting and tugging. She groans and grinds her ass against my erection. Shifting my hands to her hips, I hold her steady and glance down at her panties. Cotton. White. Easy. I hook my fingers into them and stretch them as far as they'll go, then push my thumbs through the seam at the back. They tear apart in my hands, and I throw them at Anna's feet. She gasps. I trace my fingers around her ass and insert one into her vagina. She's wet. Very wet. Oh yes, my sweet girl is ready. I spin her around and slip my finger into my mouth.
Mmm. Salty.
You taste so fine, Miss Steele. Her lips part and her eyes darken with want. I think she's a little shocked. Undress me. I keep my eyes on hers. She tilts her head, processing my command, but hesitates.
You can do it, I encourage her.
She lifts her hands and all of a sudden I think she's going to touch me, and I'm not ready. Shit. Instinctively I grab her hands. Oh no, not the t-shirt. I want her on top. We've not done this yet and she may lose her balance, so I'll need the t-shirt for protection. You may need to touch me for what I have planned. I release one of her hands, but the other I place over my erection, which is fighting for space in my jeans. This is the effect you have on me, Miss Steele. She inhales, gazing at her hand. Then her fingers tighten around my cock, and she glances up at me with appreciation. I grin. I want to be inside you. Take my jeans off. You're in charge. Her mouth drops open. What are you going to do with me? My voice is husky. Her face transforms, bright with delight, and before I can react, she pushes me. I laugh as I fall onto the bed, mainly at her bravado, but also because she touched me and I didn't panic. She removes my shoes, then my socks, but she's all fingers and thumbs, reminding me of the interview and her attempts to set up the recorder. I watch her, amused, aroused, wondering what she'll do next. It's going to be one hell of a task for her to remove my jeans while I'm lying down. Stepping out of her pumps, she crawls up the bed, sits astride the top of my thighs, and slips her fingers beneath the waistband of my jeans. I close my eyes and flex my hips, enjoying shameless Anna. "You'll have to learn to keep still," she castigates me, and tugs at my pubic hair. "Ah, so bold, ma'am." "Yes, Miss Steele," I tease through clenched teeth. "In my pocket, condom." Her eyes flash with obvious delight, and her fingers rifle through my pocket, diving deep, brushing my erection. "Ah." She produces both foil packets and tosses them onto the bed beside me. Her fumbling fingers reach for the button on my waistband, and after two attempts, she undoes it. Her naivete is captivating. It's obvious that she's never done this before. Another first. And it's fucking arousing. "So eager, Miss Steele," I tease. She yanks down my zipper and, pulling at my waistband, gives me a look of frustration. I try hard not to laugh. "Yeah, baby. How are you going to get these off me now?" Shuffling down my legs, she tugs at my jeans, concentrating hard, looking adorable, and I decide to help her out. "I can't keep still if you're going to bite that lip," I say while arching my hips, lifting them off the bed. Rising up on her knees, she pulls down my jeans and boxers and I kick them off, onto the floor. She sits across me, eyeing my cock and licking her lips. "Whoa." She looks hot, her dark hair falling in soft waves around her breasts. "Now what are you going to do?" I whisper. Her eyes flick to my face, and she reaches up and grasps me firmly, squeezing hard, her thumb brushing over the tip. "Jesus." She leans down, and I'm in her mouth. "Fuck." She sucks hard, and my body flexes beneath her. "Jeez, Anna, steady," I hiss through my teeth. But she shows no mercy as she fellates me again and again. Fuck. Her enthusiasm is disarming. Her tongue is up and down. I'm in and out of her mouth to the back of her throat, her lips tight around me. It's an overwhelming erotic vision. I could come just watching her. "Stop, Anna, stop. I don't want to come." She sits up, her mouth moist, and her eyes two dark pools directed down at me. "Your innocence and enthusiasm are very disarming. But right now I want to fuck you so I can see you. You on top, that's what we need to do. Here, put this on." I place a condom in her hand. She examines it with consternation, then rips the packet open with her teeth. She's keen. She removes the condom and looks to me for direction. Pinch the top and then roll it down. You don't want any air in the end of that sucker. She nods and does exactly that, absorbed in her task, concentrating hard, her tongue peeking between her lips. "Christ, you're killing me here," I exclaim through clenched teeth. When she's done, she sits back and admires her handiwork. Or me. I'm not quite sure, but I don't care. "Now, I want to be buried inside you." I sit up suddenly so we're face to face, surprising her. "Like this," I whisper, and, wrapping my arm around her, I lift her. With my other hand, I position my cock and lower her slowly onto me. My breath escapes from my body as her eyes close and pleasure thrums noisily in her throat. "That's right, baby. Feel me. All of me." She feels so good. I hold her, letting her get used to the feel of me, like this, inside her. It's deep this way. My voice is hoarse as I flex and tilt my pelvis, pushing deeper into her. Her head lolls as she moans. "Again," she breathes, and she opens her eyes and they blaze into mine, wanton, willing. I love that she loves this. I do as I'm asked, and she moans again, throwing back her head, her hair tumbling in a riot over her shoulders. Slowly, I recline onto the bed to watch the show. "You move, Anastasia, up and down, how you want. Take my hands." I hold them out and she grabs them, steadying herself on top of me. Slowly, she eases herself up, then sinks back down onto me. My breath is coming in short, sharp pants as I restrain myself. She lifts herself again, and this time I raise my hips to meet her as she comes down. Oh, yes. Closing my eyes, I savor every delicious inch of her. Together we find our rhythm as she rides me, over and over and over. She looks fantastic, her breasts bouncing, her hair swinging, her mouth slack as she absorbs each stab of pleasure. Her eyes meet mine, full of carnal need and wonder. God, she's beautiful. She cries out as her body takes over. She's almost there, so I tighten my grip on her hands, and she ignites around me. I grab her hips, holding her as she shouts incoherently through her orgasm. Then I tighten my hold on her hips and silently lose myself as I explode inside her. She flops down onto my chest, and I lie panting beneath her. My God, she's a good fuck. We lie together for a moment, her weight a comfort. She stirs and nuzzles me through my shirt, then splays her hand on top of my chest. The darkness slithers, quick and strong, into my chest, into my throat, threatening to suffocate and choke me. No, don't touch me. I grab her hand and bring her knuckles to my lips and roll over on top of her so she's no longer able to touch me. Don't, I plead, and kiss her lips as I dampen down my fear. Why don't you like to be touched? Because I'm 50 shades of fucked up, Anastasia. After years and years of therapy, it's the one thing I know to be true. Her eyes widen, inquisitive. She's thirsty for more information, but she doesn't need to know this shit. I had a very tough introduction to life. I don't want to burden you with the details. Just don't. I gently brush my nose against hers and, withdrawing from her, I sit up and remove the condom and drop it by the bed. I think that's all the very basics covered. How was that? For a moment she seems distracted. And she tilts her head to one side and smiles. If you imagine for 1 minute that I think you ceded control to me, well, you haven't taken into account my GPA, but thank you for the illusion. Miss Steele, you are not just a pretty face. You've had 6 orgasms so far, and all of them belong to me. Why does that mere fact make me glad? Her eyes stray to the ceiling, and a fleeting, guilty expression crosses her face.
What's this? Do you have something to tell me? I ask. She hesitates. I had a dream this morning.
Oh?
I came in my sleep.
She flings her arm over her face, hiding from me, embarrassed. I'm stunned by her confession, but aroused and delighted, too.
Sensual creature.
She peeks over her arm. Does she expect me to be angry?
In your sleep? I clarify.
Woke me up, she whispers.
I'm sure it did.
I'm fascinated.
What were you dreaming about?
You?
She says in a small voice.
Me.
What was I doing?
She hides beneath her arm again. Anastasia, what was I doing? I won't ask you again.
Why is she so embarrassed? Her dreaming about me is endearing.
You had a riding crop,
she mumbles. I move her arm so I can see her face.
Really? Yes.
Her face is bright red. The research must be affecting her in a good way. I smile down at her.
There's hope for you yet.
I have several riding crops.
Brown plated leather?
Her voice is tinged with quiet optimism. I laugh.
No, but I'm sure I could get one.
I give her a swift kiss and stand to dress. Anna does the same, pulling on sweatpants and a camisole. Collecting the condom off the floor, I knot it quickly. Now that she's agreed to be mine, she needs contraception. Fully dressed, she sits cross-legged on the bed, watching me as I grab my pants.
When is your period due? I ask.
I hate wearing these things. I hold up the knotted condom and pull on my jeans. She's taken aback.
Well?
I prod.
Next week, she answers, her cheeks pink.
You need to sort out some contraception. I sit on the bed to slip on my socks and shoes. She says nothing. Do you have a doctor? I ask. She shakes her head.
I can have mine come and see you at your apartment Sunday morning before you come and see me.
Or he can see you at my place. Which would you prefer?
I'm sure Dr. Baxter will make a house call for me, although I haven't seen him for a while.
Your place, she says.
Okay, I'll let you know the time.
Are you leaving?
She seems surprised that I'm going.
Yes.
How are you getting back? She asks.
Taylor will pick me up.
I can drive you. I have a lovely new car.
That's better. She's accepted the car, as she should. But after all that champagne, she shouldn't be driving.
I think you've had too much to drink.
Did you get me tipsy on purpose?
Yes.
Why?
Because you overthink everything, and you're reticent, like your stepdad. A drop of wine in you, and you start talking. And I need you to communicate honestly with me. Otherwise, you clam up, and I have no idea what you're thinking.
In vino veritas, Anastasia.
And you think you're always honest with me?
I endeavor to be.
This will only work if we're honest with each other.
I'd like you to stay and use this.
She grabs the other condom and waves it at me.
Manage her expectations, Gray.
I have crossed so many lines here tonight. I have to go. I'll see you on Sunday. I stand up. I'll have the revised contract ready for you, and then we can really start to play.
Play?
She squeaks. I'd like to do a scene with you, but I won't until you've signed, so I know you're ready.
Oh, so I could stretch this out if I don't sign?
Shit, I hadn't thought of that. Her chin tilts up in defiance.
Ah, topping from the bottom, again.
She always finds a way.
Well, I suppose you could, but I may crack under the strain.
Crack? How? She queries, her eyes alive with curiosity. could get really ugly, I tease, narrowing my eyes.
Ugly how?
Her grin matches mine. Oh, you know, explosions, car chases, kidnapping, incarceration.
You'd kidnap me?
Oh, yes.
Hold me against my will?
Oh, yes. Now that's an interesting idea. And then we're talking TPE 24/7.
You've lost me,
she says, perplexed and a little breathless. Total power exchange, around the clock. My mind whirls as I think of the possibilities. She's curious. So you have no choice, I add with a playful tone.
Clearly.
Her tone is sarcastic and she rolls her eyes to the heavens, perhaps looking for divine inspiration to understand my sense of humor. Oh, sweet joy. Anastasia Steele, did you just roll your eyes at me?
No. I think you did.
What did I say I'd do to you if you rolled your eyes at me again? My words hang between us and I sit down again on the bed. Come here. For a moment she stares at me, blanching.
I haven't signed,
she whispers. I told you what I'd do. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to spank you, and then I'm going to fuck you very quick and very hard. Looks like we'll need that condom after all. Will she? Won't she? This is it. Proof of whether she can do this or not. I watch her, impassive, waiting for her to decide. If she says no, it means she's paying lip service to the idea of being my submissive. And that will be it. Make the right choice, Anna. Her expression is grave, her eyes wide, and I think she's weighing up her decision. I'm waiting, I murmur. I'm not a patient man. Taking a deep breath, she unfurls her legs and crawls toward me, and I hide my relief. Good girl. Now stand up. She does as she's told, and I offer her my hand. She lays the condom on my palm, and I grasp her hand and abruptly pull her over my left knee so that her head, shoulders, and chest are resting on the bed. I drape my right leg over her legs, holding her in place. I've wanted to do this since she asked me if I was gay. Put your hands up on either side of your head, I order, and she complies immediately. Why am I doing this, Anastasia?
Because I rolled my eyes at you,
she says in a hoarse whisper. Do you think that's polite?
No.
Will you do it again?
No.
I will spank you each time you do it. Do you understand? I'm going to savor this moment. It's another first. With great care, relishing the deed, I tug down her sweatpants. Her beautiful behind is naked and ready for me. As I place my hand on her backside, she tenses every muscle in her body, waiting. Her skin is soft to the touch, and I sweep my palm across both cheeks, fondling each. She has a fine, fine ass, and I'm going to make it pink, like the champagne. Lifting my palm, I smack her, hard, just above the junction of her thighs. She gasps and tries to rise, but I hold her down with my other hand at the small of her back, and I soothe the area I've just hit with a slow, gentle caress. She stays still, panting, anticipating. Yes, I'm going to do that again. I smack her once, twice, three times. She grimaces at the pain, her eyes screwed shut. But she doesn't ask me to stop, even though she's squirming beneath me. Keep still, or I'll spank you for longer, I warn. I rub her sweet flesh and start again, taking turns, left cheek, right cheek, middle. She cries out, but she doesn't move her arms, and she still doesn't ask me to stop. I'm just getting warmed up. My voice is husky. I smack her again, and trace the pink handprint I've left on her skin. Her ass is pinking up nicely. It looks glorious. I smack her once more,
and she cries out again. No one to hear you, baby.